Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Most of the goals, every goal, there was a lost battle. You're not going to win games. You lose the net front battle for goals. You lost below the goal line battles. Almost, 90% of their opportunities were on the hands of us not winning a battle.
Well, I've lost plenty of those, so I'm not about to throw stones in a glass house here. Welcome in to Sabres Live. I feel like we were just together. I feel like we're going to be together again in very, very, very short order. So yeah. Let's start, Marty, on what you've really been up to as the quarterback of Plowmaster 43. Now, if Plowmaster 43 was responsible for cleaning all three zones of the ice, where would you start?
I'd start in the defensive zone. I start in, defending, right? Lindy Ruff is obviously frustrated with the way the game went yesterday. You gave up 6 again to the Seattle Kraken. Yep. You gave up 6 to them at home a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So you're like, that can't happen. You start the Western Canada trip in Seattle, not a Canadian city, but close enough. And you lose battles. And it's easy to point out, they lost a battle on the first goal of the game when John Hayden got a rebound. They lost a battle on Chandler Stephenson. But I think what Lindy Ruff is also pointing out is that right before, so Jack Quinn scores. 27 seconds later, John Hayden scores. What happened is you have a 3-on-2. And I'm not talking 3 Seattle player and 2 Sabres player below the goal line. You're talking 3 Sabres player to 2 Seattle player below the goal line. And Seattle won the puck, got it to the point, shot on net, block, rebound, it's in the net. So, yeah, there was a lost battle in front of the net, but there was a massive battle below the goal line that was lost right there. And so Lindy, as a coach, is saying, we have to defend. We have to defend. But it's not systems. It's not where are you positioned. Is when you're in the battle, win the battle. Win your battle. And if you don't win a one-on-one battle and we have a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2, win that battle. And the Sabres lost too many of those. And his words after the game yesterday, Lindy Ruff's saying, so I'm going to look at my sheet here. He said, we lost battle. And somebody says, why are you guys losing so many battles? He said, physical strength, where we get out muscle and conditioning. If I'm a player and I'm hearing this, I'm like, this is not good, right? Your coach is looking at it and saying you're getting out muscled by physical, simple physical strength and conditioning. I'm a player. I'm looking around. And I'm like, this cannot happen again. It just can't.
When you heard that, and now that you're, talking about it today and knowing what you know about at minimum, a certain physical level that these specific hockey player athletes are at, how great do you honestly believe the physical strength difference to be from one player, one team to the next, and or how much of what Lindy may have been talking about last night, physical strength and conditioning, is actually related to the will, the mental side of it? Because, Marty, I didn't live at the highest athletic level to know.
But you're on the right path.
The ins and outs of training and stuff.
I love it.
I'm wondering how much will can overcome this kind of stuff, because you can imagine, like, I feel unprepared to talk about everything NHL today, because I've been trying to look inside of some of these numbers with the Sabres and trying to think, okay, well, if this player was with this player more often, maybe it would help. If this pair was the more go-to pair in certain situations. And I feel like a lot of that is kind of getting, rightfully so, pushed aside based on exactly the topic you're on here. And if your head is in the right place, whether that negates a lot of this conversation.
So because you did a Plowmaster 43 introduction, I'm going to use it in that way. Like, doesn't matter if I have the V10 full, like, you know, whatever. Like, I've got the strongest truck, the best plow, whatever. And it's a diesel, and I go and put regular gas in it. Well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to move a lot of snow. Or, you know, I'm tired, and I, you know, kind of mess up or whatever. Like, doesn't matter. Like, Casey Mittelstadt, and we joked about Casey Mittelstadt at the draft, and he didn't do a pull-up or whatever. There's some players that are not as strong physically than others. But, you know, and we just did the quarter century team, and I look at Danny Briere or Pominville or Derek Roy or some of those guys that are smaller, much smaller. Mm-hmm. But man, did they have the will and the desire to never lose a battle or never lose a fight, right? That's the difference. I think there's very, very small difference between the strongest guys in the league and the not so strong guys in the league. You can all do push-ups and bench press and squat, and you don't have the same strength. But, you know, Eric Bolton used to joke around, and he used to always say, throw a puck in the corner. Let's see who comes out with it, right? Like, Bolts didn't have the skill set, but he knew that, you know, if I get in the corner with anybody in the league, I'm going to come out with the puck, or at least the will was there. That's an issue. That is a big problem. And it's not just a Sabres problem. It's a problem around the NHL when you look at goals and teams get unmuscled or, you know, get outplayed. And often it's about just wanting it more than the other guy. It's not, oh, you know what, Duffer? You could do 225 pounds on the bench press 20 times and I can only do it twice. Well, if my will is above yours, I'm going to win the battle. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to win the battle. And I think that is one thing when Lindy talks about sheer strength and conditioning, is that going back to the old John Tortorella, you know, rant that he had with us in New York, you can mentally will yourself to be energized and to be strong and to be in good shape. You know, yeah, you can do things physically, but mentally you can do it. And I think that's a very, very good point you bring up. It's not that guys aren't strong enough. It's not that guys don't work out. It's just go out there and dog on a bone. You're never going to let that puck go.
Correct. Or interesting, for sure. Yet, how hard is it to cleanse the mind to play free and strong-willed when you find yourself in the middle of a situation that you didn't expect or want to find yourself in again, which is where they are in the standings just past the midway point of the season?
Well, you're a pro, and you got to play. I had a terrible year with the New York Islanders, and at times in that season, it was challenging to even get up and go to practice and go to games, and I wasn't playing, or if I was playing, I wasn't playing well. And at one point, I was like, I gotta put my best out there. I got to continue playing. Some guys have long-term deals sometimes. Some guys don't. Some guys have to sign contracts. Some guys have to fight for a roster spot. Like, go out there and prove it. Find the inner strength and the motivation to be able to do it. And look, that was always the thing. Like, Lindy Ruff used to come into the locker room and look around, and guys are sweating and, you know, they're sore after a game or whatnot. Everybody's going to work hard. But are you willing to go the extra above and beyond? Don't be denied, right? And that's, so his comments yesterday were just that. We self-inflicted, throughout this game, and don't take away from Seattle and Seattle's ability to score and produce. But the Seattle Kraken did not have more grade A chances than Buffalo in the game. They didn't have more glorious looks. They just worked harder to find those looks and to win the battles. That was the basic line. And now you play Vancouver tonight. And look, I just watched Vancouver beat the Oilers, and there was all the cross-checking and suspension after, and Connor Garland on top of McDavid or whatever. You think the Vancouver Canucks are not going to battle? No, Vancouver is going to battle hard. They're outside of the playoffs right now. So you got to have that mindset that you're going to win the battles and find a way.
So the coach said it last night. Then how does it carry over to today? How does the message get reinforced? Who carries the flag on this particular topic to will more teammates into the battle? I think you may have noticed last night in our post-game show that I kind of caught myself in mid-ramble/question to you that I felt like all of a sudden I was realizing that I had been putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Because I went down the path of some players who have had challenging stretches offensively.
Yep.
But then the more I talked about it, the more I thought, okay, there is one larger issue here, obviously, as the team has now dropped to 30th in goals against. Mm-hmm. And this is not a goaltender. It's not three goaltenders. It's not two defensemen. It's clearly a team concept change the course of where you're at, right? Defensively. We talked about this in the offseason. The offseason was of change. And offensively, the Sabres are basically the same as last year. Basically the same. Their ranking has gone up, surprisingly, but they scored 2.98 goals last year. They're at 3.04. That's almost immeasurable. However, they're giving up almost half a goal per game more than what they did last year.
Yes.
They were tied for 11th at the end of last season in goals against. They are now 30th in that regard. That's really hard to, you know, as much as we like to say, outscore your problems, that's hard to do. It's hard to do.
They scored 20 goals in the last six games, Duffer. They had
which is basically their average for the season. Yeah.
No, they had four goal games. Sorry, right. Because last night was a four goal game.
But they've given up four more against.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Like, you have a stretch of six games where four of them you scored four or more goals. Mm-hmm. That should be four wins.
Yep.
You should, at the very least, be 4-2 in the six games. And maybe you're 4-1-1 mm-hmm. because the other two games, you scored 2-2. One, you were up 2-0 to Seattle. And Pittsburgh, well, you know, I mean, okay.
Scored first again.
So,
yeah.
But you're 3-3. And you scored four goals or more in four of them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you've given up way too much. And look, I know you're going to say, well, goaltending has to be better. That's one. Like, if I'm a goalie, doesn't matter. At the end of the night, if you give up 4-4, 3-4, 5-4, 5-6, you have to be better. The team defense has to be better, but it comes down to one thing again. It comes down to winning battles. Because when you don't win battles, you cannot defend. Teams are going to take advantage of it and win battles, and you'll defend.
So I'll go back to the question before the ramble. Who carries that torch, the flag, whatever you want to call it? Who carries that message in the room among the players now that the coach said what he said last night?
Well, it has to be the leadership group. It has to be Darlene. It has to be Thompson. It has to be Tuck. It has to be a Zucker, a guy like that has been around that understands the game. That's what it has to be. It has to. You have to, you know, and not everybody is comfortable in that situation. I've played with guys that were in the leadership group that wouldn't say anything. But you know what? Those that don't say anything would definitely show it on the ice in their action. Mm-hmm. They'd go out the very first shift and it would be like, oh, yeah, look, he's in the battle. We're going to win the battle. And that may be the first shift of the game. Or that may be, you know what, the first shift after you take a 1-0 lead. Or, you know what, that could be the first shift after you score a 6-on-5 goal. And, you know, there's a lot of first shifts yesterday that, you know, you make it 3-3. How about that first shift after late in the second period, not to give up the 4-3 goal to Oleksiak? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, to me, where the players have to step up. Because Lindy Ruff yesterday, it's 1-0. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put my Lafferty, Malenstein, Obi Kubel line out because that's a hard-working line. We're not going to lose battles. Well, they lose battles. It's 1-1. So then later in the period, he says, well, I'm going to put, you know, the Thompson line out there. Well, Thompson is not Thompson. It's Kulik, Thompson, and Zucker. And then the next line that jumps on the ice is Dylan Cousins' line. And, well, there's a goal 56 seconds later. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, he's tried a few different things. It's the players that have to say, I'm not going to let it happen. I am not going to let it happen.
27 seconds, 56 seconds, 17 seconds were the gaps in response goals by Seattle last night against Buffalo. One was to make it 1-1, as you say, another one 4-3, and the other one 6-4 to wash out any chance at the end of getting the game back to even.
And I know you say the Sabres are 30th in goals against right now, and obviously that's...
I think I misspoke. I think they're 29th. They're 30th in save percentage, so... But either way, they're 29th, 30th. Ironically, I say this because it might surprise some, but they're tied in save percentage with Vancouver, who they're up against tonight. Their save percentages are both .883, which is a long ways from where either would have expected it to be.
So the expected goals, when you look at Sports Logic, the Sabres are 21st. So
Against?
Against. So they're at even strength. At 5-on-5, they're 21st. So you're looking at it. Here's another issue, though, is that they're 27th in goals save above expectation. So they give up more than they should, right? So 27, the only teams that are getting worse goaltending than the Sabres in that sense are Philadelphia. They have 10 goals above expectation. Seattle, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Chicago. And we all know those teams have had some issues, like Pittsburgh, Tristan Jarry on waivers. Vancouver didn't have Thatcher Demko, and when he came back, it wasn't great. Seattle with Philip Grubauer, it's atrocious. With Joey Decord, it's been good. Philly has been a Rolodex of Kolesov, Fedotov, Sam Ersson. What's happening? And Chicago's Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you're with those teams in the way that you've given up more than you should. So... yeah, put it on Lucan and Levi and Reimer and saying, you got to be better. Got to be better. You got to help your team out.
True, but I didn't think you were going to pinpoint it on them.
It's not on them, but the numbers will say they're a part of the problem and should be part of the solution as well.
It's interesting because, again, you know, I think based on where they've been the last – whatever, 4 games, losing 3 of 4, 9 games, losing 6 of 9. And the way it unfolded and the comments about battle and stuff like that, like, I'm mildly fixated on still, like, who should be with whom on the blue line, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously we've seen Byram and Darlene together for a long time, and their overall numbers are good. Like, they've scored 19 goals when out there together. They've only given up 11 at 5-on. Mm-hmm. You're going to sign up for that every single day. You know what save percentage they're getting when they're on the ice? 934. 934.
That's great.
But when Power and Darlene are together, the save percentage is 827.
Mm-hmm.
And when Darlene and Samuelson are on the ice, the save percentage is 727.
Yeah.
What? Now, I get it. Those are much smaller on-ice sample sizes than what we're seeing with Darlene and Byram. But the point is when you start digging and digging and digging, like sometimes you feel like you can't stop because you can't get to a rational place to actually answer all of this. Like last night going into the matchup, Buffalo is so much better than Seattle at 5-on-5. Yeah. And most of the teams they've been up against lately, they have better numbers at 5-on-5 over the entirety of the season. I don't have the definitive answer as to, you know, what keeps undoing them here and what causes any of their goaltenders to have a worse save percentage in certain situations when certain people are on the ice.
So it's interesting you say that because you look at, like, you probably talk about Dahlin and Samuelson, right? Like, and the fact that, well, when to get her on the ice this year at, you know, at 5-on-5, there's 0 goals for, 3 against. Mm. So, but you look at, you know, they're scoring chances for versus yes. against, 20 scoring chances for, 10 against.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, well, are they giving up more chances when they're together? No, they've just been not getting the saves when they're together on the ice. And then the numbers, sometimes it's easy to paint the picture. Sometimes it's painting by numbers. You just paint him, you fill him in, and you get this beautiful
painting
picture.
By numbers is supposed to be easy. I think it's the opposite of this.
Sometimes when somebody decides to mess up and put different numbers everywhere and you start painting the numbers, you're like, what the hell am I painting here? That's what this is.
That's how artists got rich. Once they realized they didn't care what they were painting, and allowed everything to be open for interpretation, people's minds went,
Okay, and then, so you're saying this is beautiful? I don't see it, but whatever.
There's beauty in everything. That's
well,
the
right
point.
Now, the painting by the numbers is like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, but it comes down to the same thing. It comes down to just doing a little bit more. Like, I'll use a perfect example yesterday. Tough goal, right? Tough goal. It is the 5-3 goal. The Adam Larson goal, it goes off of Tage Thompson and goes between the legs of Devon Levi.
Yep.
If you look at the play, Tage Thompson is the left winger on the play. When the puck is behind the net, Tage decides to protect the middle of the ice a little bit longer, but is that his responsibility? Now, somebody will say, well, Tage is doing the right thing because he's staying in front of his goalie a little bit longer. But if Tage's responsibility is to just be out on his point man a little bit quicker, maybe he blocks that shot. Is he trying to do the right things? Yes, protecting the middle of the ice. But because he went and protected the middle of the ice, he's late on blocking the Larson shot or maybe taking that pass away. So does it make sense that while you're trying to do the right thing, you're actually doing the wrong thing and the puck hits you and goes in? No, you're trying to do the right thing, but it was not the right thing in that moment, and the puck ends up in your net.
Without seeing the previous 5 seconds on that clip, would Thompson not have been more on the other side typically? Because that was left wing, he's right wing.
No, he was assuming the left wing position on that
because
one. Because of the way they return into the zone, right?
Right, so, and again, it ties in because obviously in the clip you could see where Jiří was, and Jiří Kulik came in last night after missing the previous 4 and immediately jumped into number one center position. And prior to that, we had been seeing Cousins and Thompson playing together. And we, of course, heard Lindy talk about earlier in the year, almost specifically to Cousins and Thompson, about figuring it out in the defensive zone, right? Yeah. And then, obviously, Thompson's lack of full health played a reason in him moving to the wing, but clearly... I shouldn't say clearly, but maybe one can reasonably assume that Cousins wasn't number one center last night because what? He needs to not be in number one line minutes right now? Like, I don't know.
Because
I don't know what the answer
I think
is.
Lindy Ruff is struggling to have confidence in saying that Cousins is going to give you a strong defensive game. He's had Dylan Cousins on the ice 6-on-5 at the end of the game defensively, right? When you're 5-on-6 and other situations, and it hasn't really worked. So now he's looking at, okay, well, I'm going to put Dylan Cousins in a different scenario, in a different responsibility with being the second line center. and not have him in those situations. And look, Yuri Kulik had a good game yesterday. He had 8 shot attempts. He had 6 shots on goal. He had the better looks for the Sabres in the game, just didn't find the back of the net. And give Yuri Kulik that same game tonight and Thursday in Calgary and Saturday in Edmonton, I think he scores a goal in every game. Most likely, the numbers will go on in his favor that he had a good game. So that's fine. That top line was fine. It just, again, that goal by Adam Larson is just a microcosm of you're trying to do the right thing, but you're overthinking it, and the puck ends up in the back of your net.
Obviously, from Yuri's standpoint, jumping back in, trying to, you know, add to his first-year totals in the NHL, I think everybody looked at those chances last night and sees him, A, in the right spot, B, without hesitation for the most part, and shooting the puck, which is great. Mm-hmm. And the problem is patience is not a word anybody wants to use at this moment based on the need for 2 points every night. But I think it's easy to see where the hope with Yuri is that with more and more and more reps, his shooting percentage, which currently stands at 10%, gets in between or at the level it was in the American League. And when he had back-to-back years leading the Amerks in goals, he was at 15.4%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 to 20.
And 15.2, which historically, with the better scores in the game, which were not pushing Yuri into that category yet, mm-hmm. But shooters find their way. Then sometimes you have those incredible 22 to 26% seasons where you can't miss. But typically good goal scorers regress or stay at a level that is like in the 13 to 16 range. So Yuri is not far off. This is a long way of saying Yuri is not far off.
Yep.
But the urgency from everyone, himself included, is I have to score now. So
yeah, and Lindyrov said the one thing he noticed out of Yuri was maybe the quickness and the speed wasn't there. Look, he missed 4 games, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had an injury, but something small enough to keep him off. But so maybe now the speed can continue to ramp up, but he was open, getting himself open in the right areas with the good looks. 7 shot attempts from the slot out of his 8. Like, it wasn't perimeter Yuri Kulik. It was inside, right? Yuri Kulik, which was exactly what you want to see.
Right. It is Sabres and Canucks tonight. The matchup will not feature Tyler Myers. He's out for 3. We'll talk about that moving forward. Does this interrupt like the pregame ceremony for him being acknowledged on the quarter century team?
No, because now he can join us on Zoom from the press box. So we were going to have a headset on at ice level, but now we can have him on Zoom.
The one thing you always saw from Tyler was when he
we're
gets
not getting
when,
Tyler Myers on Zoom tonight, when, people. If you expect
when,
it,
when he gets a little mad, it's like, oh boy. And there was a lot of hostility at the end of that Vancouver-Edmonton game the other night. Obviously, McDavid won't play against the Sabres later this week. He is suspended for 3 games along with Myers. So those stories for down the road, lots around the NHL, more stories of Plowmaster 43, and a look ahead to home game on February 2nd. This one is geared towards our youth, future all-stars, if you will. It's Youth Hockey Day. It's Sunday, February 2nd. The Devils are in. First 5,000 kids in attendance. Take home a Sabres water bottle. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Back after this on Sabres Live.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.